This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid or discouraged to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus.
God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you've said about me come true." And then the angel left her.
It's hard to think of very many stories in the Bible that are more familiar than these stories of Jesus's birth. We celebrate Christmas every year. People in this room are going to have a lot of thoughts about Christmas. You've probably thought a little bit about what it was like to be Mary, or what it was like to be Joseph in this story, what it was like to be responsible for raising the Son of God. So we thought it would be good to try something a little bit different this morning. Rather than just a sermon about the topic, we wanted to break out into small groups this morning and just first see if there's any wisdom in this room, any thoughts that you guys have already had about the birth. We have some questions that are prepared to look at in small groups, and we've already got it figured out how we plan to break this out. So stick with me a little bit. These first two rows right here be where the teenagers go, and Elijah is going to lead that group. These two sofa, and all you want to do is just flip these first row of chairs backwards, and now you're all set up to talk to each other. Same over here. We got Anne leading the third, fourth, and fifth graders in these two sofas here, and they'll flip these chairs around, and they'll have a group. Over here, we have this aisle down the center. The first row of brown chairs, you'll flip those around, and that'll be a group of eight. Diana's leading this one. Sean and Kara, raise your hand. They're facilitating that group in those two back corners there. And then Ross and Rachel are in this group here. And then I'll be facilitating this group right here. So this first group will flip your chairs around, and the third group will flip your chairs around. Leslie will be leading this group back here. It's going to have to require, you guys will have to figure out how to get those chairs together. And then over here in this corner, Leslie, who's leading this group?
Alden
will be leading this group back here. That first row of brown chairs, we'll just flip those around. So if you don't have a chair yet, just wait a second. The teenagers are gonna end up down here. The third, fourth, and fifth graders will end up over here. And then you can backfill in one of these areas that we looked at. We'll look at these questions, talk about them in our small groups, and then we'll kind of bring our chairs back around and face front for a little sermonette at the end. If your group gets done early, just share a little bit about, like, what's going on with you. Get to know each other, what you did for Thanksgiving, what plans you have for Christmas. Just catch up a little bit if your group finishes before we're done. All right, break. All right. Teenagers, any wisdom over here? Not much wisdom, some wisdom, little wisdom. Crystal's like, not so much wisdom. I'm confident. Some wisdom. The high schoolers for sure. Okay. Some wisdom over here? Yeah? Yeah, these stories are things I've thought about a lot. Some responses in my group I had never thought about before. That was really good. The last question, though, was the thing that really stood out to me. If the angel were to reveal God's plan for my life today, I would. What would I do if God were to reveal his plan for me today? Usually when we hear that, we think of something very specific, like obviously an angel coming and saying, hey, you are going to give birth to the Messiah. That's pretty specific. But you know, even at that, you figure most of their life, like, okay, that's good. They got that specific thing. But then they had 30 years of working out how to do that day by day. Like, tomorrow when I wake up, what do I have to do? The next day when I wake up, what do I have to do? The day after that when I wake up, what do I have to do? They didn't have an angel showing up every morning and saying, this is what you have to do. We imagine hearing from God about what we have to do is something very specific to us. Here is your unique task. And unless we hear that, we kind of feel like we're off the hook in terms of our responsibilities. I want to read this from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Paul says, in your relationships with one another. Now, this isn't the whole of God's plan for you, but this is one very specific aspect of his plan for you that I think might be helpful. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. He made himself a servant. You, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who made himself a servant. A servant's responsibilities is to manage the household. Every single day he's told, or she is told, manage the household. The master doesn't say, here are the specific tasks that you have today. Today you have to cut firewood, and then you have to fold the clothes, and then you have to do this. No, your responsibility is to see what needs to be done around you and do those things. The master doesn't say, oh, good job folding the, here, you have to fold the clothes. Good job folding the clothes. You're done being a servant. It's a daily responsibility that requires the servant to look around them and see what needs to be done and to function in a way that you are making life work for those around you. The servant's responsibility is simply to make life, to grease the working of the household in such a way that life works for the person, for the people around the servant, for the people that they're serving. Whatever else God has called you to, if an angel were to reveal God's plan for your life today, imagine that I'm glowing and I have this message from God to tell you. You have been called to be a servant, to wake up in the morning and to look around you and to say, what needs to be done today to make life work for those around you? I'm going to suggest this. You're called to love your neighbor as yourself. You're called to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. In order to do that, you have to start off with a heart that is prepared to serve. And in order to be ready to serve, we have to love the people that we are near. We have to love them as a servant, humbly. This Christmas, as we're preparing for Christmas, as we are thinking about God's plan for our life, the way that God has a plan for Mary, I would encourage you, if you're not married, if you got friends, talk to your friends about it. If you're married, talk to your spouse about it. If you're married, talk to your friends about it. Either way, what is keeping you from serving? Very often, we don't love the people we come in contact with, and so our heart isn't prepared to serve them. We've done something. We have been offended in some way that has made it unlikely that we're going to interact with them in a way that we can get to know them. And so we can't love them and we can't serve them. If there is a person in your life that has done something to you, that has made you not a servant to them, that is, they're just not a part of your they are a part of your life normally, but you are not prepared to serve them as if they're a part of your household. Resolve that with them. Go to them and let them know, this is something, a grudge I've been holding. I don't want to hold this grudge anymore. If you've done something to someone else, go to them and apologize for whatever you've done that's caused that grudge. I'm saying, put yourself in a position to have Mary's response. I am your servant. I am here and I am ready to serve. A lot of times we're not prepared to hear from the angel about our responsibility because our hearts aren't ready to serve. And of all the many reasons that our hearts aren't ready to serve, I would just encourage you first to ask, is there a hardness in my, is there a reason that I look around these people and I'm not prepared to love them and to make their life work the way a servant would make somebody else's work? In preparation for this holiday season, do a selfless self inventory. Just do a self inventory, ruthless self inventory. Figure out what it is about that's going on in your heart that has hardened you from being a servant. You've had those times that your heart was tender and you wanted to serve people, but that heart may not be tender anymore, or for certain people it's not tender. What has caused that heart to harden so that you're not ready to serve and you're not ready to hear God's plan for your life? Repent. Prepare to be a servant again and enter into the spirit of Christmas the way Mary and Joseph did. Let's pray. Father God, this morning, I just want to thank you for the wisdom and for the beauty of all these men and women, young men and women too, who have spent time learning about you and thinking about what it would have been like to be present even before your birth. God, I'm not going to have those same experiences, but I have the opportunity to serve. I have the opportunity to be a servant. God, I want that righteous heart that Joseph had. I want that servant's heart that Mary talked about. Lord, I want that for my church. Lord, humble our hearts and make us ready to be your servants. We love you. Amen.